This is Deborah Anderson, the Black Woman Animator, coming back to you with another video. And in this video, I have Saani Huluf to talk about Self. Welcome.
Yes, thank you for having me on this like show of yours. I actually watched some of your interviews on YouTube, so this is like, I'm very happy right now.
Thank you for your support. We'll have to bring you back for a full interview. But yeah, I watched the film. For context, so can you tell us a little bit about Self and like when did you get the idea for Self?
Yeah, I got the idea for Self in like 2021. I was actually on Turning Red at the time, and I have like the way I start writing is like basically by writing in journals, and I kind of write a lot of my stories have been written based on like how I'm feeling. So it's actually nice looking at my past films because it'd be like, oh, I know exactly how I was feeling during that time frame. So for Self, I kind of was having this feeling of like how I constantly self-sabotage myself, especially for something I really, really want. I think I have kind of like an unhealthy way of like achieving my goals for like something that I feel like precious to me and like as if it's like a prized possession. And I also kind of wanted to tell like a little bit of like my mom's story of like what it's like to be like, you know, an immigrant in an urban city. In this case with my mom, it's like her immigrating to the States, specifically in LA. And I kind of wanted to talk about like this idea of assimilation too, and just like the struggle of belonging if you don't look and sound like everyone else. So those are kind of like the two pillars for me of like how I was writing Self and the creation of it. And like it was such a weird process to even get there because I didn't know exactly how the story will be, but I knew those were the feelings I wanted to have in it.
And so what is Self about?
Yeah, Self is about someone who literally self-sabotages herself to belong. So it's about someone who, you know, she's someone who I always think of her as kind of like a quiet observer. So she's very aware of herself and her situation, but she kind of doesn't have like an unhealthy way of figuring out how to get to a solution to it. And yeah, and I think that like when you're watching the film, and I'm assuming that most people have seen it, has been out for a couple weeks now, you kind of like are in this weird spot of like, do I want to support this character that I love in order her pursuit to be like everyone else, or am I not going to support her, but you're also like feeling sorry for her at the same time and like empathizing with her too. So
so the place that your mom moved from, is it a city, a small village, or what is the makeup of where she's from?
Yeah, so my parents are from Ethiopia, and I'm like first generation Ethiopian. There was like a civil war in Ethiopia, so she actually, her and her family, fled to Sudan. So then from Sudan, she like married my dad and like met him there, and who's also Ethiopian, also fled Ethiopia, and then had me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Every time I go to DC, I ask the cab drivers, like, do I look like y'all? A lot of times they say yes, so.
I love that you say DC too, because there is like a huge Ethiopian population there. And like, I personally love DC. I love the culture and the people there. But like, yeah, there's a lot of Ethiopians. I'm like, whoa, it's like crazy.
So, you've talked about like, because you are talking about you fitting in as well. So like, how can you give context to how did you grow up in East LA that made moving to Westwood a culture shock? Because this is the same city. So like, how insulated were you, and what was it like growing up to make it like, whoa, this is totally different?
Yeah, so like for context for people, I'm from LA and I'm specifically part of East LA. Like I kind of grew up like right between K-Town and downtown LA area. And I kind of really stayed in that area. I never really went too far to the west side. But I got to UCLA film school. And when I moved from East LA to West LA, there was a culture shock for me because I just felt like I was with a totally different group of people that I've never seen before in my life, even though we're in the same city. Even though LA is also a big city too. So there is a little bit of like, yeah, I can see that too. But, anyone who goes and lives like in a college town knows how kind of insular it is too. Like I just went to Westwood last week actually for the Annies, and I was just like, oh my God, like I forgot how like the population there is like, is so dense, and everything also is there too. You have like Whole Foods, you have Ralph's, you have Target, you have Trader Joe's, like literally blocks from each other. Like you don't really have to leave Westwood to get anything. Mm-hmm. So except culture, not slave. But like, you don't really have to leave Westwood at all. So like, you know, my 4 years there, like 2 years were on campus mm-hmm. at UCLA, and the other 2 years were like in apartments in Westwood. Like I really just stayed in that little bubble the whole time, mm-hmm. unless I'm going to internships like at Glendale. But yeah.
So what was it like in East LA? Was it just like very diverse, or was it like all your people, or?
Yeah, I was diverse in the sense of like, not just like skin tone, skin color, but like also just like economic class. Like I grew up in like Section 8 housing. I had like under like a single mom. So like we didn't really have a lot of money. And what was great was that also everyone else was broke. So like there wasn't this weird thing of me feeling like I'm too poor to hang out with anyone, where we're all legitimately don't have a lot of money, but we also had like similar circumstances. Like majority of my friends are like also first generation or have parents that don't speak English. So you're kind of like their translator. Also lived like, you know, in apartments where like there's a lot of people in like one little house, and like you're just so used to seeing that. So like when I moved to Westwood and like I talked to a lot of my friends, like they don't have that kind of similar background per se. But like I think for me, like the diversity was like really rich in the sense of like, I was in K-Town a lot. So like, for me, it was just like, my friends and I would always go eat all you can eat Korean barbecue. And it was like $9.99. And like, for us, it was just like, oh, that's such a treat. Like, let's do this. So like, there was also a lot of like different cultures and heritage that I was also experiencing there as well.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that difference goes into like the different materials you chose for the characters. So can you talk about what made you decide, you know, the material for the main character and then the material for the other characters?
Yeah, so like this film, like what's really special about it is that stop motion. And I think that like when I pitched this film, what really gave like the green light to make the stop motion was like the way that she was animated also furthered like told the story of her struggling to belong. So like, not only was she like animated differently, we also wanted her to feel and look different from everyone else. And what's great about like Pixar and the world of CG is that like you could do anything, like anything. So like the fact that like we wanted Self to be imperfect, she wanted her to feel like she was hand carved, also like very textile, you know. And what's cool about stop motion is like you could see that fingerprint from an animator. We want the exact opposite for these other characters, and we've been calling them Goldies just because their skin is gold and silver. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people who have like watched the film compare it to like, you know, a black person turning to a white person. It was mm-hmm. really interesting. But for me, it wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. we were actually looking at a lot of African American like designs, and we were thinking like Black Barbie was kind of the goal. because for me, it was just like Self as an immigrant character. So it was also this fact of like, oh, what would it be like for an African struggling to fit in with other African Americans? Mm-hmm. But then like the reason why they're gold is because I want to add another layer of like, you know, like it's kind of this thing of, it's kind of crazy how much people will change themselves to, and for this instance, it's like looks. So it's just like the fact that like she is wanting to look like them, I wanted to add an element of shininess or mm-hmm. shine to it, because there's kind of like a psychological kind of like study of like when you see something shiny, you're already like leaning towards it, you want it. And like I wanted that element for those other characters, because I do think it kind of helps further explains like, one, that she doesn't fit in because she can't shine like them, but two, like her already being attracted to that shininess and like that feeling of looking like gold. And we looked at like a lot of like gold references, like shiny references. There's also like glitter spots on them too, because we wanted them to kind of reflect in like a really like more of like a ooh, this is attractive kind of way. So those are kind of like the mechanisms and reasonings why we had them look like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, from me kind of looking into your experience, particularly at UCLA, I can see, I mean, there's multiple takeaways that people can have of like, who is the main character and who is the other characters, but I can see how the other characters can represent the experiences that others weren't allowed to have growing up. Like, you didn't, like, the main character had to get it out the mud and is represented by the earthly representation, and then the other characters and your peers maybe had the silver gold spoons, but they're made of
material. I've not heard of that that's such a good, like, yeah, this is the power of storytelling, man. Like, people like pull so many. I was like, I never thought of that. Thank you.
But that's from like searching for this interview and knowing your background and then looking at the film of like, what did you communicate?
Yeah.
So yeah. So what are the other cultural elements of the character in the film and the film?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me too was just like, I wanted this character to be African, but I want her to be specifically from Ethiopia and specifically in the Tigray region, because that's where my family's from. We're in the Tigray region, which is more northern Ethiopia. And I had this fun idea of like having her have features of Ethiopian woman, but with kind of like a modern twist. So you could tell, like, the first thing is like her hair. Like, this is such a like distinct Ethiopian hairstyle with like braids on top and then a big poof at the end. Mm-hmm. And also just like the pattern on her clothes, which are like Ethiopian specific patterns. The modern twist is the crop top, which is like, one, I wear crop tops. I love wearing crop tops. Two, because I'm a big believer that like you can use every element to tell your story. So like for costumes, I want to have this fun kind of like, I know everyone will pick it up, but like for me, I always imagine her, like she dressed up in an outfit that she felt like would make her feel like she was everyone else. So she kind of like has like a traditional Ethiopian cloth and like pattern, but creates this kind of crop tuck look, thinking that like, oh, this will be the thing that'll help me fit in. And like, I personally just love it because I think one, like it's very similar to how I like to dress. Like, I love to wear crop tops, and like two, I always imagine her being someone who like makes her own clothes, you know? So like for me, she's like, oh yeah, she made this herself, making her like debut outfit. So.
Yeah. And then the markings on her like neck and eyes.
Yes. And that was another thing too. And like, usually like for Ethiopia, like those are like tattoo markings. So like my aunt back in Ethiopia, she has like a huge cross on her forehead. So like for me, like having a cross on her chest, there's like three like rings around her neck, and there's like two 11s on her, what is this, like, yeah, the left side of her eye to kind of represent she's from the Tigray region. It's like little details like that and subtleties to kind of like further show how she doesn't fit in, because when you look at these other, the Goldies, like they don't have any markings on them. They're like literally sleek, shiny, like there's not a scratch on them. And I think that like, I love that because there's something about that feels very bland and boring in that sense, because they all look alike versus like self sees as imperfections, but it's also just kind of like the beauty of what makes her unique.
And then as a first generation American, you get to see the two sides of an existence while existing as this like third version of existence. So you hear a lot about, you know, we hear a lot about immigrants assimilating, and you can get that from the film. What do you feel are the dangers or the downsides of assimilation?
I think the first one, which is something I like struggled with growing up too, is just like not knowing who you are. And like, I think that's something that like, God, like I think a lot of myself, like in college, it's weird because I think back on it and I think back of how oblivious I was on how I was behaving and acting. And like, you know, like the simplest thing too, is just like, I always think about my hair and like how I wish it was straight and I didn't have like thick curls. But then also just like this weird thing of like, when I was like, I have this distinct memory when I was in elementary school and I was graduating and I wanted to get my hair straight. So my mom just walked to a hair salon and they said no to me, and we had to keep walking to so many different hair salons, and none of them wanted to, and granted these were none of them were black hair salon, they were just like normal hair shops. Like we went to barber shops, we went everywhere, and again these are like it's not like a white neighborhood. It was like, you know, a very diverse neighborhood with other POCs, and they're saying no to me. And that kind of feeling of just like, damn, I'm trying to assimilate, but I can't even like, I just keep getting rejections. Thankful to the Korean woman in K-Town who decided to take me under her wing. But like, yes, yeah, like things like that, where it's just like, I think it creates kind of like this like weird, like, oh my God, who am I kind of situation, which I think is, you know, when I think about people who are watching this, I think a lot about like Pixar audiences are, granted, they're like a wide range, but they're mostly skewed to like younger audiences. So I always think about like younger audiences who are also struggling with how they're looking now, especially with like social media and stuff. And I kind of wanted to have this thing of like, you know, having a sense of self and who you are. And like, that's kind of like the biggest danger to me when I think of assimilating. The second is kind of just like how boring you will be. And just like, I don't know, I feel like people who look like other people who follow trends are not interesting to me personally. And I think that like that's also like a danger of assimilation, where like we kind of like lose the culture or the taste of individuality. And that's something that I feel like is very precious for people, because I think, again, that makes them stand out and who they actually are and who they are in themselves.
Yeah. I think there's, because when you don't have a foundation in who you are, like there's this trend on TikTok of like, you know, white Americans like finding out more about who they are, whether they're from like their families from England or Scotland or something like that. And I feel like that gives you more perspective on cultural appreciation rather than cultural appropriation, because if you don't have a foundation, then you're just grabbing for stuff. Just like she, the character was like grabbing for the piece when she fell off the roof. But hey.
Yeah.
So.
And just like me, trying to have straight hair is just sad.
And like, have you had a full circle moment of seeing how beautiful your culture and you are, and maybe leaned in more to it as an adult?
Yeah, it's actually really funny, because I was saying, I was talking to Sam Goff, which we both know, and like she and I are on a very similar path of us digging into our old cultures. And I think it is because like we are getting older and we're adults. I think like growing up with like a, like, you know, every good parent, there is this feeling of like, want to be American. I want to like do American things. You know, I don't want to eat injera and serve all the time. Like I want to go to McDonald's. Like, and now as an adult, and I also, you know, I had a, thankfully I had a chance to go to Ethiopia before COVID. So like for me, it was just like nice to like be there and see my country and my culture firsthand. And like weirdly enough, like me kind of embracing more of my culture, so like for me it's just like I'm leaning in more into my Ethiopian culture, but I also feel like there's so much that I need to learn. Like I don't know, like the, like when I was in Ethiopia, I got to see Lucy, which is like the first ever human fossil, and I'm just like, I can't believe this isn't Ethiopia, like this, like Lucy is here. Like I don't know, there's something like I had pride about that. I don't know why I have pride over these bones of the first human, but I'm like, yeah, of course it's Ethiopia, fuck yeah. So
so like what do you want one people to take away from the film, and then like what did you take away from the opportunity of doing a Spark short?
Yeah, so for the first question, you know, I kind of like, as someone who has been constantly making films, there is like a sense of like, this film's not mine, it's like the audience's. So they take it, like even like the way you're like interpreting things, I'm like, I did not think about the whole silver spoon. I was like, I did not see that. Like, but now I do see it, you know? Okay. But that's like the power and beauty of filmmaking. So for me, like, you know, again, like this film, it, like I always call it, itself is short for like self-sabotage, because that's like my personal experience. But like I hear other people talk about like, oh, I thought this one was about self-love, self-discovery, you know, like Sam told me self-esteem, and I'm like, oh wow, like I didn't think about that. And I did not at all like think about like people putting their own little like, you know, dash whatever for self. Like I just really you know chose that title, and it was all, the only title for that film, like to be honest, because like this film is about a self, is about one's relationship with themselves and how they see themselves. Because you notice in the film, no one's directly telling her you have to change yourself. She's like really making those choices herself because she feels like she thinks that's the way that she could, you know, belong and like find community. And then your second question was, again, what was it?
Like, what did you take away from the opportunity to do a Spark short?
Yeah, I'm very grateful because I do think that, like, you know, because our industry is so crazy, the fact that I was make a film about a lead African character, an immigrant story, is just like, oh my God, like, when am I ever going to have this chance again? So I'm very grateful for the opportunity, but also too that, like, the reason why I got this opportunity was because of another Black woman at Pixar, Britta Wilson, who was our inclusion strategy, VP of inclusion strategies and outreach. She put my name out there, like in rooms where I wasn't in. And I think that, like, when I think of power of community, I think of like Black women supporting Black women. And like, I know I wouldn't ever had a chance or even been thought of if it wasn't for her.
So if anybody wants to follow you, where can they find you online?
Yeah, I am at Saudi Films. And yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm very new on Twitter. I still don't know how to use it. And I know it's not Twitter anymore, but I grew up in Arizona. Yeah.
Well, I would like to thank you for coming on my platform to talk about your short film, Self. And to everyone out there, I want you to like, so I know it's real, comment and tell me how you feel, subscribe to Seal the Deal, and sign up for post notifications to show your zeal, and I'll see you in the next video.
Bye. Thank you.